Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310 is after his name. He was United States Attorney for the last 4 years, and said at the beginning of this year that he was comfortable in that job and wanted to stay in that job as long as the President and the Attorney General wanted him to do so. But he left that job on Thursday, went to a new job on Friday, and today he's talking to us from that new job. Who am I talking about, Drew? I'm talking about Private Citizen Joe Hogsett, and he's on our live line. Joe, how you doing?
Good, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine. So I first got to ask, so you're at the new job. Did they give you an office with a window?
I'm not only have a window, but the office is got boxes everywhere, Amos. But I'm in the process of taking everything out and putting it away.
I understand. I saw on Twitter a picture of you with City County Council President Maggie Lewis, and it looked like you guys were in the foyer of Light of the World Church. So you got a new job and you went to church yesterday?
Well, Maggie Lewis, who's been a longtime friend and colleague, and I worshiped with Dr. David Hampton and his church family at Light of the World yesterday, and it was a it was quite worshipful. We had a great day.
So now I understand you've been doing a number of interviews, and some of the journalists you've been doing interviews with this morning, instead of keeping their mouths shut and waiting until they go on the air with their interviews, they've already been on Twitter telling me that perhaps you're getting ready to file paperwork for an exploratory committee.
Yeah, in the course of the interviews that I had this morning, Amos, and I'm so glad that I'm able to talk to you and your listening audience this afternoon as well, I indicated that it is my first day with the Bose McKinney & Evans law firm, and obviously I'm very busy getting established here as a partner practicing law. As you know, Amos, for the last 4 years that I've served as the federal prosecutor, I haven't been able to talk to anybody about politics. So it's only appropriate that I'm talking to you this afternoon. And in answer to the question I was asked this morning, I indicated that within the next few weeks, I do intend to file the paperwork, all the legal niceties that are necessary to be filed to seriously explore the opportunity to run for mayor in 2015.
What caused you to leave a very good job serving the people of Indiana from this point in the state all the way down to the Ohio and the Wabash Rivers to want to look at potential leadership of the 11th largest city in our country?
Well, you're right, Amos. It was a great job, and it's one that I left with some mixed emotions. I mean, I think that the record that we compiled in fighting crime, not only here in Indianapolis, but throughout the Southern District, was a record that I'm very proud of, and I would enjoy continuing to serve in that capacity were it not for, candidly, the unprecedented level of violence that our city is experiencing. As a resident of the city of Indianapolis, as somebody who cares very deeply for the peace and the safety of our neighborhoods and our community, the kind of violence that we are experiencing in Indianapolis touches every single family. And I happen to believe that every single person has to do all that they can to make this city a better place. And I came to realize that the place where I could do the most good wasn't necessarily the United States Attorney's Office. I mean no disrespect to that office. I think we were doing a lot of good. But as you know, Amos, and as your listeners know, if you're the United States Attorney, what you do is you identify, you investigate, you prosecute, and ultimately, if convicted, incarcerate individuals. And while some criminal activity certainly is in alleviated by incarceration, if we're to meaningfully address the rise in violent crime, the ever exploding homicide rate in our city, we can't prosecute or arrest or incarcerate our way out of this problem. It's going to take all of us working together, from prevention to law enforcement, to reentry, and it's going to take our schools, it's going to take our businesses, it's going to take leadership that is able to move our city forward in the direction that we all want to go, and that is safety in our neighborhoods and peace in the streets.
How important, when you talk about leadership, is it that any mayor, whether they're Democrat or Republican, has to be strong enough as an individual to be able to sit down with people that they may disagree with to try to find common ground? One of the criticisms of the current mayor is that he has enemies lists longer than Richard Nixon and a lot of organizations and individuals that he refuses to sit at the table with.
Well, Amos, you have to, as a leader, transcend your differences, whether it be partisan differences, whether it be, you know, ideological differences. In my view, Indianapolis is struggling with what I call first things, and those are, you know, do you feel safe in your home and in your neighborhood? Now, is this community and is our educational systems here a good place to educate our kids? And ultimately, can you, particularly in middle-class families, you know, can you find a job and maintain a way of life to provide for your family? And I think on all of these points, our city has serious challenges. You know, Amos, you are the light of the world in this regard. You say all the time, because I listen, one in three children in Marion County currently live in poverty. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds, I heard the superintendent of IPS say not too long ago that two-thirds of adults who live in the IPS district do not have a high school diploma. Mm-hmm. And we've never really fully recovered from the recession, so we're in the process of losing an entire generation of young people just over the last decade. So those are the issues that I'm going to spend the next few weeks talking with as many people as I can about, and trying to determine whether or not we're doing enough in this city or whether we need to take that next step so that we can truly become the city that we all want to see us be.
We're talking with Joe Hogsett, a private citizen, who is going to fill out paperwork to have the exploratory committee to run for mayor, for the Democratic nomination for mayor in 2015. Joe Hogsett, one of the things that people brought up, Hoosiers don't mind paying taxes. They don't mind paying the cost of government if they feel that the money is being spent for proper purposes. But over the last several years, whether it is the Rock Center, whether it's these poorly designed bike lanes with a bike lane sign every 15 feet, it seems like, the cricket field, the biggest waste of grass, in years, $6 million for a field that nobody's going to use. And I don't want to, I realize you haven't had your first check yet at Bowles, McKinney, and Evans, and I don't want Mr. Bowles, Mr. McKinney, and Mr. Evans mad at you, but there are people that are pointing out this $750,000 contract with one of your colleagues to try to do PR for this proposed Justice Center, and I'm a media organization. They ain't called. They ain't bothered to buy me a Coca-Cola or a Dr. Pepper or anything, and it just points out to people we're wasting money on things we don't need to waste, and yet our police officers don't have all the equipment that they need. Our parks and parks programs have been cut worse to the bone. They've been amputated. So as you're looking at this, how do you reassure people that a Joe Hogsett, if he's in that corner office on the 25th floor, isn't going to waste money on things that might be frivolous, like 700, even though it's going to your law firm, and you might, you know, it helps the partnership thing. $750,000 for that it doesn't make any sense. Huh?
Well, Amos, that's a great question. I firmly believe that you cannot and should not raise revenues until you've squeezed every penny out of the current budget that you have. And I am proud to report to your listening audience that the offices that I've been given the great honor of holding have reduced spending every single year. You will recall I had the great honor of serving as Secretary of State some years back, and in the 6 years that I was there, we reduced spending in that office every single year. The 4 years that I've served as the United States Attorney, we've reduced our spending every single year that I've served. And clearly our police officers are calling for backup. Something has to be done to answer that call. And I think we need a citywide discussion on those issues and others. But you can You can take literally to the bank, Amos, my track record of spending tax dollars as wisely as possible and returning them to the taxpayers whenever that's possible.
Would you encourage your wonderful colleagues at Bowes McKinney, since they're dealing with tax dollars in this contract, to indicate how the money was spent? If the, you know, in other words, if $750 was spent legitimately, then I don't think anybody would have any cause not to say how the money was spent.
Well, I don't know enough. I mean, this is my very first day on the job. Obviously, I didn't, I wasn't involved in the letting of that contract by the city. And so I don't really have any personal knowledge of how those monies have been spent. But look, as a general concept, Amos, the more transparent government is, the more faith and trust that people have in government. And it's when government, does start to spend money in ways that frankly are excessive or wasteful, of course people lose confidence and they lose the trust that is so critical. And so as you know, whether it's as Secretary of State, whether it's as United States Attorney, or in my private capacity, I hope I'll always be the type of private or public servant who advocates for complete transparency in government.
Joe, were you surprised with Mayor Ballard's anti-crime and preschool proposal that there was nothing in his proposals to deal with at-risk young people and teens today who may turn to crime in 2015 and 2016? Dealing with four-year-olds and keeping them from turning into crime in 2021 is a good idea, but were you surprised there was nothing for the here and now in the mayor's proposal?
Well, I want to be careful, Amos. I respect the two terms that Mayor Ballard has given this city. I'm actually glad to see some acknowledgement from the administration that something must be done. That stands in stark contrast to, as you will recall, because I came on the show to talk about it, 3 years ago I launched the Violent Crime Initiative in the United States Attorney's Office. 3 years ago I understood that violent crime was an increasing problem, not only just here in Indianapolis, but throughout the southern two-thirds of our state. So I'm glad that last week some acknowledgement from the administration that, you know, we are at crisis proportion now and something has to be done. But what I've read about that proposal, that seems to me there are many questions that remain unanswered, as you just point out. How we all want pre-K programs available for all of our kids, because there's universal acknowledgement that that is a good way to get our kids started down the right path, making good decisions, and provide them with the kind of start educationally in life that they deserve. But how much good is a pre-K program when our children then are destined to enter schools that continue to fail? And frankly, getting back to the point you made earlier, I also understand the criticism of some that I've read over the course of this weekend who question how the city will have experienced three public safety related tax increases in seven years, only to end up with fewer police officers on the street. These are all topics that I think deserve a full public debate and discussion, and I hope that I'm allowed to be part of it.
We're talking with Joe Hogsett, and I know, Joe Hogsett, from your days working with former Governor Evan Bayh and your days as Secretary of State of the state of Indiana, you came to know our friend and colleague, the late, great Al the Bishop Hobbs. Your thoughts on God calling him home too soon?
Well, it's extraordinarily sad time. Al was a friend and literally an icon in this community and many others. And look, at the end of the day, while we are sad whenever we have to say goodbye to a dear friend, my faith tells me that we go to a new and better place, and I certainly believe that is the case for Al, and I just simply extend my sincere condolences not only to Al's family, but to everyone who came to know him through the years as a consistent voice for progress in this community.
So now it is August going into September, National Indianapolis Neighborhood Festival Months. Are you in shape? Are you ready for all of the festivals that you're going to have to hit?
Well, I'm looking forward to doing what I haven't been able to do for the last 4 years, and that's engage in the dialogue and the debate. As you know, Amos, as the United States Attorney, you're told to do your job, keep your head down, and not offer any opinions about anything except how to put criminal wrongdoers behind bars. So, yeah, I look forward to becoming active again in neighborhood associations and fairs and festivals, wherever people are gathering to talk about where the city of Indianapolis is today and how we can collectively work together to take it to the next level, where Indianapolis could possibly be, how much better we could make this city with commitment and vision and leadership.
Is this going to be a lot more listening on your part?
Well, I always think that you learn more when you listen than when you talk. And I've tried to listen very closely to issues involving public safety while serving as the United States Attorney. So I hope I bring some level of considered experience to those kinds of conversations. But I also intend to listen to people from all walks of life, from all four corners of this county, from every neighborhood in this community, about education, about job creation, about their safety in their neighborhoods. These are the issues that I think if Indianapolis collectively puts its mind behind something. We proved in that Super Bowl several years ago, Amos, that when this city gets behind a project, whether it be making our streets safer, whether it be making our streets smoother, whether it be improving our educational system, or whether it be putting on the greatest Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls, when Indianapolis puts its mind on to something, we can get the job done. We just need the leadership and the vision to make that happen.
He's now citizen, Joe Hogsett, sort of like citizen Bill Crawford. You know, when they become citizens, they get better at it, Joe Hogsett. Always good to talk to you. See, now he can talk more, Drew. Yeah, we can ask about all kind of stuff. Thanks for, I'm going to let you get back because I know there's a long line of people wanting to talk to you up there in those offices downtown. But
I appreciate you having me, Amos, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some of these thoughts with your listening audience.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.